not sure who.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest Rob Bishop. Short segment coming up first, and then we'll have some time to talk. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you have a question or comment, feel free to call in with anything you like. Okay, so much for Ed and Elaine Brown. We just can hope for the best, and maybe at some point in time there will be a happy ending. And I want to make a quick announcement again for those of you who are up there in that area of New Hampshire. Keep an eye on the home there. I'm really curious to see when it's seized and goes through that process and it's put up for auction, who buys it, or if it's sold before it goes to auction, and indeed, who buys it.
I've heard rumors that the I don't know if it's the judge or the sheriff himself is actually going to buy that house. What a disgrace would that be? I mean, that's, you know, that's what poster material.
Yeah, that's what I'm watching for. If indeed the sheriff or the judge or somebody that was involved in this to begin with ultimately winds up buying that house, especially if it never makes it to auction, then, you know, that may just be a little bit of the motivation there. You think?
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's, you know, that would give us a better argument in court, assuming that, you know, they get to court. And my gut feeling is, unfortunately, that Ed and Brown, especially Ed Brown, they're never going to see sunlight again. They're never going to see freedom again. But, you know, what we take away from this is a learning experience that open door policies when you're under siege is insane. Having, you know, parties and concerts while you're under siege is insane. I like the way that you and John and Randy Weaver went about it. I mean, I was on the phone with Randy Weaver much of the time that he was up there. You know, I knew him through Kevin Smith. And, you know, that was the way to go about it, to go talk to the judge, to reason with these people, to understand and talk to them, and, you know, not just go and basically throw rocks at them, you know, or make these statements that, you know, we're going to, you know, if you come in shooting, we're going to take you out. I mean, just insane stuff that just makes you look worse, you know, and then you can't just say, okay, anybody wants to come up, they're going to be allowed in. I mean, you know, and then one night when nobody else is there, your two friends have just made you a batch of hot cocoa come up behind you with, you know, with whatever, a handgun, whatever way you want to look at it, and click it behind your ear and say, if you move, we're going to blow your brains out. You know, I mean, that's the lesson we have to take from this. And, yeah. You know, again, I'm at the point now, Mike, where I don't think we have there is no peaceful revolution. You know, John Kennedy said, if you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. And the fact is, they don't follow our laws. They don't count our votes. They don't even, you know, promote the candidates that the people want, you know, in terms of Ron Paul. And, you know, at that point, you have to say, okay, where are we going? Are, you know, should we start planning for, you know, an actual, I wouldn't even say American Revolution Part 2, but almost more along the lines of the French Revolution, something on that order, where we're just going to storm the Bastille that is the White House one day. But we have to increase our numbers and get people aware and get people trained and ready. I mean, are we at that point? You know, well, we switch over from being activists to survivalists.
On the flip side of that coin, we know that, well, I believe it was almost 2 months ago now to the day that Bush had activated these, what was it? It was a division, Special Forces Division, to guard the White House, if you will. And there was, you know, it was reported there was going to be 2 months of training and then they would be implemented. And I believe that 2 month deadline is right around the end of this week. So the other side is looking at that, and they know that we know. And their biggest fear, Rob, is that they don't know how many of us know. They don't know how many sleepers that we have out here that are watching everything they do. I do believe this, and I give kudos to my listening audience and a number of other people on other networks, is that. And I had this conversation with, well, I'm going to take a break, okay, but I'll tell you about a conversation I had with a friend of mine who, you know, isn't a part of the movement, man I stayed with over the weekend. Very interesting. We'll be back in 3, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Rob Bishop. Stick with us.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Rob Bishop. Phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443, if you want to call in with a question or comment. Now, back to what I was talking about. I had a, you know, I spent the weekend up in the Bay Area, went to a class reunion, and I spent that time with a real close friend of mine, old friend. Hadn't seen him in a long time, but we go back all the way into our pre-adolescent years, and he's not totally awake, but he's waking up. And I had a conversation with him regarding the fact, you know, that it's because of us. It's because of, you know, the alternative to the news, the alternative to mainstream. It's because of the listening audience and the people that, you know, are active and that pick up the phone lines, do the walking, call their senators and congressmen. If it wasn't for us, Rob, if it wasn't for this listening audience, I give them kudos, that for people like Ted Pike that had been fighting the hate crimes legislation since 1998, okay, it took them 10 years to get it through. Because of the fight that we have put up, and I was mentioning this to my friend John, I said, John, you don't realize that if it wasn't for us, if it wasn't for this movement that worked behind the scenes, people that never get any credit, people that you don't even know are out there, that there probably would have been more than one false flag event. We probably would already be under total martial law, police state. The hate crimes legislation would have been implemented. It would have been a lot darker days than it is now, and it's because of us. We still have that, you know, small increment of light, if you will, and we still have the opportunity to maybe turn this thing around before it's too late. And he pondered that for a bit, and he says, yes, that would make total sense. So, and I'm a firm believer in that, Rob.
Absolutely. In fact, to go back a few months to the amnesty debate, I mean, it wasn't just the patriots or the conservatives or the liberals or the socialists that beat that. It was all of us joined together for different purposes, but against the amnesty plan. And we beat that, even though everybody in Washington seemed to want it, with the exception of a few Republicans, you know, including Ron Paul. I think that's what we have to look towards. Again, you know, what we're doing here is building the foundation while the globalists are putting the capstone on. And, you know, are we behind? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to pick it up. But what I'm seeing now, again, is people starting to be informed. And what we have to do, instead of just informing each other of the things that we already know, or, you know, like certain so-called, how would you say this in a nice way, self-described thinkers that actually got their start on this network that are quote-unquote educated, you know, that think they know more than everybody else, even though that they don't want to teach anybody anything, if you know who I'm talking about. You know, and, you know, just because you have a college degree doesn't mean you know jack. I'll tell you what, Mike, and that's something not a lot of people know, and I don't like to talk about. I never graduated high school. I dropped out my senior year because, I mean, I was starting to wake. I was pretty much fully woken up by that point. And I said, okay, this is an indoctrination center. I want nothing to do with this. The crap that you people are teaching me, I could stand up and teach a history class better than you can. The only reason you're here is because you're the daughter of the superintendent. All right, screw it. I walked out of school and never came back in the middle of January. You know?
Wow.
But I've learned 10 times more in the few years I've been out of high school than I did in, you know, 12 years in high school or in school, you know. You look at the Department of Education, the effect that they've had in 50 years, it's just been a total disaster. Anything government touches, government breaks, you know.
Well, I look at my stepson and, you know, my wife shares with me some of the things that happen in the school. Of course, we can't be there and we can't oversee it, but a very interesting thing happened to her daughter last week. And it got her to the point, I mean, you know, Lindsay has been paying close attention to what's going on because of me. Now, she doesn't like a lot of things she hears, and sometimes she gets mad at me for telling her. But at any rate, she pays close attention to what's going on. And what's very interesting is that last week there was a field trip for her daughter's class. And her daughter's, I believe, 10 years old, maybe 11 now. And, you know, they wanted her to pay $12 for her daughter to go on this field trip. And Lindsay didn't pay the $12. So as opposed to her daughter being able to go on the field trip, she was instructed to sit in a detention room, the room that they use for detentions, for punishment, and do nothing but read and study. And then she would get a break for lunch. She'd be escorted down to the lunchroom. And then after lunch, she would go back to the detention room until the end of the day. Well, what's interesting is that this field trip ended at 11:30 in the morning. So her entire class came back from the field trip and was to spend the rest of the day eating lunch out in the field and playing games. Well, do you think that they would allow her to join her class and eat lunch? No, they still escorted her down to lunch, and they were going to escort her back to serve out the rest of her day studying. They wouldn't allow her to do that. And to me, that's a form of punishment for the child, because the mother didn't pay the $12. And it goes beyond that. You know, back when I went to school, the school books were provided. The lunches were 35 cents. Now I find that the lunches are provided that are no different than a small TV dinner that you can buy at the grocery store for a dollar. The school's charging $2 and I think it's 75 cents a piece for them. The parents are now forced to buy all of the school books. So, you know, in this day of incorporating everything, it looks like the school systems are in it for profit as well, and they're trying to make as much money off the parents as they can. So it's done a complete 180 since the days I was in school. Not to mention the lack of education and the indoctrination that they put these children through, to the point of fingerprints, of flu shots, vaccinations. I mean, just the mind, the conditioning of the mind. It's totally different, to the point now where Lindsay is saying that, you know, I'm thinking very seriously of pulling my children out of that school and homeschooling them.
Yeah, a lot of parents are doing. Yeah, it's something that I'd wish that I'd passed, you know, pushed for with my younger sister, who goes to the same school that I'd gone to, and now they have cameras in all the hallways. The vice principal will pop into a classroom to start screaming at a teacher for no apparent reason, you know, if they're not teaching the curriculum exactly how they want. And again, the curriculum itself is all dictated by the federal government. I mean, it doesn't go by, you know, the class size, the history of certain people in the class as far as what they learned before. It's all the same. That is socialism. You know, it's big government controlling everything, even though they have no idea what goes on in individual classrooms. And, you know, that's, you know, on a little bit of sidetrack there. That's something that drives me nuts when you have these people that understand what's going on with our government and understand the New World Order and understand all these things, and then they push for socialist medicine. And it just, you know, you've seen what happens when government takes control of education, of transportation, of infrastructure, of all these different things that they always fail at, because big government throughout history has always failed. And now you want to put them in control of your health care? I mean, that's insane. That to me is veritable suicide, you know.
Well, now it goes back to what you had started off to begin with, is they're looking at, you know, taking down, what is it, anywhere between 80 and 95% of the population. And they're doing it by a number of different means. And this is part of the problem, is that they're attacking us from so many different levels. And, you know, and I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again. To be, I spent the last 4 days over the weekend in kind of an what I knew was an illusion. It was the illusion, which to a lot of people is the real world. And then you have this dilemma that, you know, of us being awake and all the listening audience out there of going out and trying to wake these people up. And in a way, what you're doing is you're inviting them into a nightmare of which they can never wake up from. And so, you know, I spent 4 days in this particular arena, and I'm saying, you know, there's an element of bliss to their illusion. The problem is that when that illusion comes crashing down, they are going to be so shocked and they are going to be so horrified at the reality of what's going on that, you know, I would understand why there may be rioting in the streets. I would understand why people would just be maybe, you know, committing suicide or going on major road rage or whatever, because they are so far removed to what is the real reality that it's going to be a total shock to them.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that you're going to see a lot of mass anarchy, a lot of hysteria. And that's what they want. I mean, you know, I have 16 different CFR opinion papers, opinion pieces, some of it right from their magazine, going back 40 years talking about how that's what's going to happen once, you know, the dollar crashes because it has no backing. I mean, fiat currency is literally intellectual property. So once it crashes, people are just going to go nuts. People that were making $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year, living a nice middle-class life, suddenly they're third-world poverty poor. Man, people are just going to go insane. There's going to be mass riots. People are going to be begging for martial law, you know, basically hugging the tyranny. And that's exactly what they want. I hate to say it, but it, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you see the news start to correlate your theory and you say, oh, God, it's coming. And, you know, it's a sad fact. I remember I remember when I was first waking up, Mike, I didn't believe a lot of the stuff I was reading and hearing, you know, from Mark Cornick. I was given a few of his videos and so on. I just didn't believe a lot of that. And, you know, until I start to see everything they were saying, you know, including the radio, Stat Miller back when he was on GCN and all of those guys, Alex, all of it, you know, what they were saying was being matched up shortly thereafter by the news, mainstream news. I would pick up my local newspaper and, you know, see these things happening, but it would be in the back of the, you know, miscellaneous section and totally unmentioned again. And I'm like, oh my God, it's real. And then you come to that realization and man, that hits you like a ton of bricks.
And not only is it buried, but it's also spun to make it look like it's a good thing, you see. And they do that the same way on mainstream media. And I can't count how many times when I had a TV, by the way, I've thrown it out, Rob, where, you know, I'll give you a prime example of what's her name? Hannah Storm. Was reporting on police brutality of this woman going through the Phoenix airport that died in custody, and also a black man that was beat to death by billy clubs. And I was watching this in actual shock and awe, because what I was watching of these policemen that were beating this man to death with billy clubs, I was listening to Hannah Storm and this psychologist talking about how basically they were pointing a finger at the victim and calling it the victim's fault because they were dying of some kind of a stress-related factor of heightened blood pressure and so forth.
The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Talking to American Awakening with my guest, Rob Bishop. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. And I was talking about this clip I had watched with Hannah Storm narrating while you see a clip of three police officers beating a man to death with billy clubs. And she was talking with a psychologist about, you know, it was some kind of the reason given for the death was some sort of a illness like, or a sickness called heightened stress syndrome, or something like they would equate to these drug commercials which come on TV, you know, in the middle of sitcoms where they invent some kind of an illness and say, consult your doctor, and they give you the side effects. At any rate, I came away from that, Rob, thinking that this woman, this reporter, this journalist is literally telling me that I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. And I felt as it was a form of conditioning to, you know, additionally or, you know, mind numb the American public down even further. So they're conditioned to the point where they can see this and they think it's not really happening, or they think it's you know, for the person's own good. I mean, that's what I came away with, and it just blew my mind that she would have the audacity to come on the air and tell me that I'm not seeing what I'm really seeing. It was unbelievable.
You know, it's interesting, Michael. You know, one of the easiest things to prove, yet one of the hardest things to get people to believe, is mind control. And it comes from not just the chemical MKUltra style mind control, again, Operation Midnight Climax, that we go and get hookers, pay off these hookers to lure men back to these flop houses, and you know, CIA agents would literally run up and inject them with different hallucinogenic drugs. They would get them to take LSD and observe what happened to them. I mean, this is literally what went on in this country less than 40 years ago. You look at the anti-war movement, which, you know, was basically beatniks who were given these same drugs and became hippies. That was all literally CIA. I mean, the guy that wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that was literally inspired by his participation in MKUltra experiments. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, involved in MKUltra experiments. The guy was a genius. I thought he was going to be the dean of, I think it was either Stanford or Cal Berkeley. And next thing you know, the guy wigs out and goes and lives in the woods for 20 years sending mail bombs to people. And that's just, you know, the firsthand chemical experience. But everything we watch, I mean, flicker rates on television, even on the internet. That's why you statistically have a harder time comprehending and remembering things that you read on a computer screen as compared to things you would read from a book, which, again, why the book is being devalued and phased out within the within the thoughts of the American people. People don't read books. Like, what is it, like 1 out of 4 people have even read a book last year or something like that? I mean, it's sick.
Well, when you go into that, you know, regarding the reading, I mean, I have occasion very, very rarely, and I want to emphasize that because I no longer have a TV, but if I go out and watch a baseball game or whatever at the local bar and I watch the commercials in there, I notice that the commercial, and they've obviously got this, you know, they've psychoanalyzed this entire thing. Back 40, 50 years ago, you used to watch an episode of I Love Lucy, and you see a guy on there with a can of Geritol talking for 30 seconds, and you would see the can of Geritol with the guy talking for the whole 30 seconds. Now, if you watch a commercial, you will not see the same visual shot on the screen for more than about 2 seconds at the max, and they continue to flip it to something else. And they're doing this because it does something to the brain waves that allows, you know, whatever their subconscious meaning is to come through and bypass your conscious. And obviously they've done many, many, you know, behind the scenes studies on this. And frankly, I find it very difficult to even watch a commercial anymore because of this. And, you know, it affects your thinking. You literally go into a lower state of consciousness. And for those people, and the majority, or if not all, of the listening audience out there, you know, I would categorize them as critical thinkers. They do not take anything at face value. And the further that you get into this, where you wake up, you peel away the onion, you find out that what we've been taught in school isn't the real truth. You look at freedom to fascism, you find out that the government's been lying to you. And now everything that you look at, and you have to, you know, psychoanalyze, you have to evaluate, you have to dissect everything that you hear, so it makes us become more conscious and more of a critical thinker, and rightly so. I never used to be like this. And then I notice when I walk out of this world and I walk into the world of the illusional reality, if you will, I see these people that are basically good time Charlies that, you know, all they're out for is a good time, a few drinks, and, you know, how did the Raiders do last week? You know, that's right, their mindset.
And actually, the way that works with the television, it literally puts the parts of your brain that are, you know, like you said, critical thinking, sort of the critical thinking section of your brain. And, you know, it's been a couple of months, if not years, since I've really gone deep into this. I don't know the exact details. But those portions of your brain are put into, like, a seizure-like state to where, you know, the oxygen and then the blood flow is not getting through and you're accepting what you're being told. Same way if you watch Fox News, I know it's a hard thing for a lot of people to actually do. If you watch Fox News, everything they have, all of their backgrounds, it's in this sort of blurry deep blue. And that literally affects the cones and the rods in your eye to tell the brain to accept what is being seen, you know? So if they were to tell you that the sky is green, for a millisecond, you might believe it is true, although, you know, obviously the rest of your brain would take over and say, okay, that's not true, this guy is blue. But if they were to tell you that the war is going well or the surge is working or, you know, all these things that you wouldn't know otherwise, you're going to accept it as fact. That's why the people that watch Fox News are mostly zombies. And, of course, what's the highest rated network on TV as far as news goes? It's Fox News. What does that say about this country?
It says we're in deep trouble unless we can turn it around. Okay, we got to go to break. Bottom of the hour, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Rob Bishop. Interesting discussion. Feel free to call in 800-313-9443 and join in if you like. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Got more. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Rob Bishop. And I guess, you know, Rob, the bottom line is mainstream media is not going to help us. They're doing everything they can do to hinder us. The mind-numbed American public isn't going to help us unless we peel away that onion and get inside their head. It's up to us. It's up to us to do something about it. And this is why I tell people, sometimes I beat on their head a little bit and say, get a bumper sticker. Go out and invite people to come listen to RBN. You know, we've got this occupation. I don't call it a war. It's an occupation in Iraq, and it's a complete and total mess. And we've got these guys sitting over in a foreign country with, 130,000 troops or whatever they are. And we've got, now we're basically slapping around Iran, threatening them. Then we've got this gun control issue. Go into that a little bit, Rob, if you will, and give me your thoughts on it.
Sure. I mean, with Iraq, I mean, you know, we spoke earlier about how intersecting agendas usually lead to their goals as far as the global elite. With Iraq, if you actually read the PNAC documents, and when people hear PNAC, they say, oh, it's a 9/11 thing. In reality, it had very, very little to do with that. 9/11 and the false flag terror attack played very, very little into their goal and their plans. What they wanted was basically a wall against China. I mean, they spoke about invading Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and Syria in that order. And now Bill Crystal's coming out saying that we might have to occupy Pakistan within 5 years as well. because, well, they have a nuclear weapon, even though that he won't tell you that we gave them the nuke. And, you know, as of last year, in fact, it might have even been earlier this year, Bush signed another accord giving them more nuclear technology. But, you know, they leave that stuff out. Iraq itself, you know, I don't think that they planned on this to go as bad as it has. I mean, there's a lot of people that speculate that this is all by design. I personally don't believe that. I think that this has been a major speed bump in their plans. By this time, they probably wanted to have Iran under wraps, let alone Iraq. And this has also opened up quite a bit to people opening their eyes as far as what's really going on behind the scenes. I mean, I remember, you know, being involved in this in early 2002, and there was no 9/11 truth movement. There was none of that, you know what I mean? There were no competing networks. I mean, it was very, very small and consolidated. And once Iraq started to go bad, people started to look into different things. They start to look into, again, 9/11. That's a small issue. We understand that. But they start to look into fractional reserve banking. They looked into immigration. And then people start to open their eyes and get angry. And that's just multiplied year after year. So Iraq, to me, has been their Achilles heel. And I think that's why the Democrats, who, again, are there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. We all know that. That's why they're sponsoring this bill to declare that the 1911, but they say it's 1915, genocide against the Armenians by Turkey. You know, they're putting out the resolution basically to get Turkey to pull their support from the so-called war on terror. This way we can't use them as a transportation hub. And, you know, the Democrats are going to take the blame for losing Iraq, even though most people don't care at this point, so it's not going to be that big of a backlash. It's just going to get us back into this tribal right versus left Democrat versus Republican team politics mentality. And in reality, you want to talk a little bit, and I'm going to segue a little bit to Turkey and how this ties into gun control, which is something I really want to hit on. You know, to me, that is the sign that things are really going to be breaking down is when they come after the guns in a big way. And there's over 23,000 gun laws in the United States today, each one of them, well, for the most part, unconstitutional. People don't have respect for the Second Amendment. The NRA is completely, completely sold out, completely from the top down. And, you know, people think, well, you know, they're protecting our gun rights, even though they keep sponsoring this legislation and keep pushing it and keep lobbying for more and more gun restrictions. I mean, you go back to Turkey from 1915, 1917, over 1.5 million Armenians were rounded up and exterminated. You know what started that, Mike?
Tell me, Rob.
The Turks took away their guns. Let me read you a quote from Adolf Hitler in 1938. "The most foolish mistake we could possibly make would be to allow the subject races to possess arms. History shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subjects, or their subject races, rather, to carry arms have prepared their own downfall by doing so." Hitler understood this. Stalin, one of the first things he did when he took over was take everybody's guns. And Lenin kind of started that at the advice of Trotsky. Again, the neoconservatives worship Trotsky. Literally, Bill Kristol and Irving Kristol went down to Mexico to literally put a rose at the grave of Leon Trotsky after he was killed. It's insane how this all ties in. You know, Janet Reno about 10 years ago, you know, and this is long before I had woken up, but I recently discovered this. She said that waiting periods are only a step. Registration is only a step. The prohibition of private firearms is the end goal. And you know what? There's not that much turnover from Bush to Clinton or Clinton to Bush and vice versa and vice versa. You know, look at 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. 20 million dissidents were rounded up and killed. China, 20 million were rounded up and killed after they established gun control. Germany, Cambodia, Uganda, Guatemala, over and over and over again. As soon as people give up the rights to arms, they are rounded up and exterminated. The Europeans at this point are pretty lucky. They give up their sovereignty for socialism. All they have is CCTV, and, you know, they're somewhat close to free. You know, that's only started. When we give up our guns, all bets are off. And the sad part is, if the provocateurs scare the American people enough, man, they're going to be handing their guns left and right, saying that, oh, well, the government needed to protect us. We need to be safe. I mean, if you remember directly after 9/11, what was the one thing that everybody said? Not even that they were scared so much of the terrorists. They were scared because of the lack of order. You know, it was just total chaos. Nobody knew what was going on, what was going to happen next. I remember being in school that day, and we were worried that, you know, a plane was going to crash on top of the school, and everybody was going nuts, or, you know, running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And, you know, if that happens again, regardless of the provocation, regardless of the situation, people are just going to hand in their guns. And after that, man, it's over. It's over.
And they're looking at a different level of that as well, because I've gotten reports from a number of different sources, including a guest I had up for a short period of time a few weeks ago, that there are certain types of ammunition that is becoming more and more scarce. So if they can't find a way to succeed, which I find, from my perspective, I think that's going to be an extremely difficult thing to do. But the second best thing is to let the ammunition dry up, and they can still succeed to a degree in their agenda by doing that. Now, I don't see, and I know that there was a bill that had been introduced regarding the veterans and regarding, you know, if they had ever been involved in any kind of a psychological evaluation, or if they had ever suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever, right, that they were not going to be allowed guns. And this affects everybody. It affects the police, the former military that may have had that on their records and so forth. So, yes, they are continuing to, you know, exacerbate their agenda regarding the confiscation of guns, but they're being very covert about it. They have to be very careful in this regard, because if they were to come out at this point in time, especially with the unknown amount of people that they know that are awake, they could be in for a serious backlash if they just come out and said, okay, well, it's time. You know, and they have these volunteer things where, you know, they'll, you know, on a certain day they'll allow everybody to turn in their guns, and I think even some of them, they're offering them a $100 bill or whatever. That's the people that are voluntarily, you know, they're all for gun control or whatever. But there's an unknown number of people out here that are either awake, like most of this listening audience is, or something in the back of their mind is saying, no, I don't think I want to go there. So that's one of those touchy issues where they have to be very careful about how they do it. Now, in the situation with Katrina, you know, they invented this, this catastrophe that happened down there. Now, whether it was strictly weather-oriented or whether HAARP had something to do with it, and they control the direction of that, and I've heard arguments on both sides of that, they sent Blackwater in there to confiscate weapons. But as far as getting the weapons themselves through legislation, I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I think that they would have to indeed manufacture some, again, cataclysmic event, declare martial law, and then just start kicking in doors. I don't see any other way around it. How do you look at that?
Actually, it's already passed the House, H.R. 2640, Veterans Disarmament Act, you know.
Well, no. I know that part, but that's not inclusive of everyone that owns a gun.
Oh, no, I mean, that'll be very, the old, what is it, frog in the boiling pot scenario, you know, it'll be little by little, and before you know, it'll be, criminals can't have guns, you know, even if, you know, you have an unpaid parking ticket, you'll be classified as a criminal. Again, go back to Patriot Act, Section 802, we're all terrorists. Anybody that's ever done anything, you know, or been in any kind of police database or anything like that, it could even be because they brought you in because you look like somebody else and they fingerprinted you. You're considered a terrorist.
Right, no, and I have to go
and
back.
Anything like
go ahead.
Now, anything like that, and it'll be so small and incremental, before you know it, it's only going to be a few of us left that have guns that are refusing to give them up, and you're going to see these Ed Brown style situations, Ruby Ridge style situations all over the country, but it's not going to get reported. I mean, you look at, you know, the mainstream news just on the cable news networks. Every day there's a situation where, you know, somebody's holed up in their house because, they didn't show up at court. And, you know, it's a standoff, and in the end they get killed, and nobody talks about it. I mean, you know, they cover for 5 minutes, and that's it. And before you know it, just like, you know, with these vaccinations, with everything else that's going on, people get so numbed with the police brutality. People get so numbed and dumbed down to it that they don't care anymore. You know, it becomes just old hat.
Well, that's the direction it's headed, and that's why I say, you know, I keep repeating, it's up to us. Getting in the arena that I was in over the weekend, this past weekend, you know, I did what I could do, and there was, I would say there was probably 250 to 300 people in this group, and I did what I could do in that particular setting to educate who I could educate, pass out as many cards as I could. But, you know, there's an old saying that 20% of the people have 80% of the money. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And if you go out and you're trying to wake people up, there's really only about one, maybe two people out of 10 that are objective enough to listen to you. And then there's only a fraction of that that are critical thinkers enough to take the initiative to go in and look for themselves. But even at that, if you take those numbers and you look at 300 million people in this country, only 1% of those is 3 million people. And all we need is 3 million people that know what's going on, that won't give up their guns, that do have the ammunition, and that alone is enough to thwart off anything that may come our way. And I want to make something very clear. I'm not looking, I don't want any kind of a, you know, quote, civil war in this country. I don't, the last thing in the world I want, would want to do is take up arms against my fellow American. I don't want to do that. But I also think, Rob, that in, among the ranks, especially like, you know, this debacle with Ed and Elaine Brown, there was dissension among the officers. There was dissension among the police. There was dissension among the feds. And so some of those people, through the efforts of Jack McLam and so forth, they're opening their eyes up to know, not necessarily all of what we in the listening audience knows, but to know there's something wrong. They have a bad gut feeling about the people that they're representing. The incident up in at Murphy's Bar up there in Manchester, New Hampshire, where, you know, you've got this one group of people that are meeting, the Free State Project, I believe, and you've got 10 federal agents that happen to just frequent that bar the very night that they had their meeting. This is an intimidation factor, okay? And these people are trained. These people are, you know, there's a certain mentality, a certain IQ level that they that I'm sure that the government wants them to have in order for them to pass and to get into their positions. But even some of those people are saying, you know, there's something wrong here. There's something that isn't quite right. They're getting a bad feeling about it. Former IRS agents, Sherry Jackson, Joe Bannister, these people had enough, you know, common sense, and they had enough integrity to take a look at what was going on and give up their pensions and give up their paychecks and say, you know what, I've got you know, too much integrity for this. I've got too many morals for this. And we can only hope that there's enough people when push comes to shove that are going to stand up and say, wait a minute, enough is too much. And another thing that I want to mention here regarding that particular situation, you know, the drums have been beating to attack Iran, and Israel is pushing and pushing and pushing for us to do the dirty work and to bomb Iran, take out their supposed nuclear facilities. And we've got somebody that stood up to the plate the other day, the new Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, who found out that he indeed has the bottom line. He is the buck stops at his desk, and he has the say-so to say whether we bomb Iran. And he stepped up to Cheney and he said, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea. What do you think of that?
Again, that's an interesting subject that you brought up because, you know, it shows the divisions within the White House and why Condi Rice, from what I've heard from pretty good sources, is about to get pushed out because she represents the old Philip Zelikow portion of the I wouldn't even call them neoconservatives. They actually call themselves the Vulcans after the Roman god of fire. You know, I mean, we were talking about the think tanks and so on. The Condi Rice faction calls themselves the Vulcans. They don't consider themselves neoconservatives. Cheney isn't even really a neocon. He's basically representative of the military industrial complex, even though he's basically hand in hand with the neocons, the Crystals, the Irvings, the Crystals, the Wolfowitzes, Pearls, so on. And, you know, Condi Rice isn't for attacking Iran, and she's no angel, obviously. But she realizes that that's going to spark off so many people and get so many people upset and angry that they're going to force a change. Again, I reference back to the amnesty thing. When enough people get upset and enough people get angry and tell their representatives, no, if you do this, you're going to be out of a job in 6 or 10 or 12 or 14 months, you know what? Things get done. But, you know,
all right.
That's.
Tell you what, let's take a call. Let's go to Betty in North Carolina. Betty, you're on with Michael and Rob. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. I was just looking at Ron Paul's registry, a list of 10 different items here that he's taking a very good position on, and 4 of those 10 really have to do with the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 6, of course, are for the most part foreign policy, but it's also deals with bringing people into the county level and making the jurisdiction so that any official can take on enforcement police powers, you know, representing any agency of outside all the way to regional government. And it just seems that I'm concerned about thinking that the people in the county can go and complain to the sheriff pretty easily. And if the sheriff's power gets lost or the people lose the idea that they have the power to go to the sheriff, and especially on the Bill of Rights, I think we're in much worse condition than we would otherwise be.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, we're in serious trouble with the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Bill. You know, they're actually blending. In Indianapolis, they have blended the police department and the sheriff's department. When I was up in Plainfield, New Hampshire, you know, John Samuel and I had a conversation. John had a brilliant conversation with the sheriff up there, and the sheriff, who has the power to step in, he did nothing. And this is these are steps that have been being implemented over a long period of time. Rob, you want to comment on it?
Absolutely. I think the first thing that Ron Paul should do, or at least one of the first things, is break down the federal police. You know, we call them state police, but they're all federally funded and federally controlled. You know, according to the Constitution, according to the Federalist Papers, even going back to the Articles of Confederation, it's supposed to be officers of the peace, first of all. You're not supposed to have police officers as if this was some, you know, Eastern European country. We go back to elected sheriffs and their deputized officers. That's it.
Got to stop you. Got to take a break. Thanks for the call, Betty. Appreciate it. Got to go to break. Final segment coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Rob Bishop. Be right back. Stick with us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Your host, Michael Herzog, with my guest, Rob Bishop. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was bringing this gentleman on, and I was not going to mention his age until the end of the show. And I had this conversation by design. We've been all over the board, touched a lot of different topics. And the reason that I said, folks, that there's hope is that this is the generation that we're passing the torch to, that hopefully we're going to get our constitutional republic back. And you've heard me for the last 2 hours. My listening audience know that I'm just touching on 58 years old. I've had a very intelligent, very intellectual, stimulating discussion with this young man for the last 2 hours. And I want to tell you now, if all of them are like this guy, then there's hope for the future. Rob Bishop, tell them how old you are.
Michael, I'm about 3 weeks short of my 21st birthday.
That's amazing. And in light of my endeavors, you know, I see a number of people out there, the young generation that has, you know, got earrings in their nose and their ears, and they've got red hair, and they've got pants down to their halfway down their butt, and all they care about is the latest DVD or iPod that comes out. And when I have the experience, the marvelous experience of speaking to somebody like you, it gives me hope for the future for my children and grandchildren. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Rob.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael, and you know, I appreciate what RBN does and what all the other networks do. And it's, you know, we're fighting the fight literally for our children. I mean, you know, I obviously don't have children of my own, but you know, I have this vision in my head which literally makes me wake up in the middle of the night and drenched in sweat of looking down in 20 years at my daughter or my granddaughter. You know, while she wants to get married or have a child, and the state tells her no, or that because of genetic testing that they've done on her, the child in her womb, that it's going to have some kind of mental defect, so that they're going to abort it, you know, force it, like they do in China. I mean, it's already happening. You know, I don't want to have my daughter say, well, I want to marry this man, but because, you know, our matching or our tests don't match up right, the state's not going to grant me a license, and I can't marry him. And it's illegal for me to continue dating him. I mean, we're not that far from that kind of police state, that kind of micromanagement socialist police state. And that's what scares the hell out of me, Mike. And that's, again, I've been doing this since I was 13 or 14 years old. You know, and I had a civics teacher, because I mean, I've always been interested in history and the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and all. I mean, it just fascinated me what this country is based on and how, what made us the good guys, still kind of naive at that point. And a civics teacher handed me Behold a Pale Horse by Bill Cooper and just told me, hey, ignore the alien parts. He's basically right on everything else. And turned me on to the Mark Kornke tapes from like the early 90s, American Peril, I believe it was called. And, you know, through that, I learned about Alex Jones, obviously, and John Stadtmiller while he was on GCN and all, I mean, all these other things. And going back, I mean, I'd woken up about 4 months or so, give or take, after Bill Cooper was killed, again, by, you know, the government. It's similar to what we almost saw with Ed Brown. And, you know, from that point on, it's just been gradually waking up to more and more, gradually becoming more dedicated. And then I've had these things affect me personally. I've had, you know, family members that were tasered for running a red light. And, you know, nobody seems to care about it. And then, the, you know, the police joke about it. And that kind of, I mean, this is recently. And that forces you to get even more dedicated. I mean, my entire post-pubescent life has been spent studying and fighting the global elite trying to prevent a new world order. And, you know, it's a point that I made before, Mike. It's one thing to know these little facts and understand these things. It's another to go out there and try to teach to other people that want to learn. And I want to see more of that from my generation. I want to see people move beyond 9/11 and start to teach other people and you know, learn what it's really about.
Good point, man. Thanks again for coming on. Rob Bishop, folks. Okay, end of another day. Thank you for listening. And I want to invite you, stick around, okay, because we've got the National Intel Report coming up with my friend John Stadtmiller, always a good show. And I want to remind you to have a good day. Go out and wake somebody up, folks, okay? Order a bumper sticker. Stick it on your car. Tell some, invite them in. Tell them RBN's church and tell them to fill up a pew by tuning in. See you tomorrow. Bye.